Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's the moment of the evening every K-State fan enjoys. Settle down and pour a whiskey, crack open a LaCroix. Please put your hands together and make a little noise for your favorite Wildcatters, the handsome Bosco boys.
Boys. Come on, boys.
Boom, the boys are back, and it's back-to-back days with a show in April. I mean, look, there was so much that happened, you know, basically over the last 10 days in both K-State football and basketball that, you know, you had to go back-to-back days. And yesterday was all football, so if you want to hear me talk about Dylan Edwards, the trip to Ireland, some of the other, you know, portal prospects, and then my takeaways from K-State players in the NFL draft, go back to yesterday and give that a listen. Today is all basketball, and honestly, you know, like I said, all basketball, but there was just a, like, literally, like, 5 minutes before I hit record on this, Weston Polk committed to K-State football, high school recruit. So in a world where so much portal talk and so much right now, a class of 2025 kid out of Coppell, Texas, committed to K-State, super athletic. He played safety for his high school. I think he's going to play either Sam or Will linebacker at K-State. TCU, Houston, Iowa State, and Cal Berkeley were all going after him. So it was a good recruiting win. Athletic player, like I said, plays safety in high school, but he's going to play linebacker for K-State. I think it's a good get. I'm happy with it. Second commit in the 2025 class. I would imagine by July you're going to see that number up closer to 12 to 15. I think they're going to get it figured out. I think they're going to have a good recruiting class, and I think there's some absolute fireworks still to come for the high school recruiting class for football. But let's get into basketball now. Before we do, give a shout out to our friends Manhattan Brewing Company. Of course, they got great stuff going on this entire week right there in Manhattan, especially if you're going to be going to the sold out baseball games this weekend. Make sure you're drinking Wabash Ale at the baseball games. It's there for you. Make sure you're drinking it up. Make the athletic department know you want Manhattan Brewing Company at K-State sporting events. Also, make sure you stop by. Like I've said a couple times, Wing Wars in July. I've never been more excited about an event at Manhattan Brewing Company than I am for that one. They always have great bullet cocktails on tap as well. So again, not only do they have the best beer in the state of Kansas, not only do they have the best vibes in the state of Kansas, they got on tap cocktails, they got fun events. Manhattan Brewing Company, truly the best in the world. And again, if you're in the state of Kansas, talk to your local liquor store, tell them you want Manhattan Brewing Company. We've heard some big time success stories of places just communicating with the craft beer buyer. They're distributed all throughout the state, and you talk to them, be nice. Like Devlin's in Topeka, 4 or 5 different Manhattan Brewing Company at all time. So shout out to Manhattan Brewing Company. Absolutely love them. Give them a shout when you get a chance. And yeah, let me know. Send me a picture of the Bosco's Boy sticker in Manhattan Brewing Company. Find it, tweet it at me. Maybe I'll get you a prize. All right, let's get into it. Truth be told, I was getting ready to record this on Sunday, right after I recorded the football one, just knocked them both out, have them all taken care of, but then started catching wind of the Day-Day Ames news, so I said, all right, got to hold off, see if this happens, and sure enough, it did. We'll talk about RJ leaving here in a second, but the Day-Day Ames departure really hurts. First and foremost, this is modern college basketball. A lot of programs are going to be rebuilding every single year. I think K-State in the Jerome Tang era, it's probably a little bit more extreme than the others. Because what you had two guys return, his first year, and then last year, what was it? It was David Gasson, Cam Carter, Taj Manning, Dorian Finister, right? I don't think I'm forgetting anyone. Of course, it was supposed to be Naquan Tomlin, but sure enough, what, like 4 guys returning? This upcoming year, only 3 guys returning. It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot, and before I talk about Day-Day and RJ specifically, I don't think this is great for college basketball because it is far more prevalent in basketball than it is football. Like, if your team wins, like, no one looks back on the 2000, like, the first year, the 22-23 team. No one really looks back and they're like, oh, man, don't really care for that team because they are all, you know, transfer mercenaries coming in. Because you won, because it was a fun season, because it was one of the greatest seasons in my lifetime. It was one of the 5 greatest seasons of my lifetime. But we look back to last year, and I was 100% felt. You know, we were right there on the bubble. But we're talking about how we were ready for the season to be over. I mean, I know I wasn't the only one. And we ended up, you know, being right there on the bubble, being pretty close. If there weren't so many bid stealers, I mean, you probably would have been the last 4 in amongst the first 4 out. And you still didn't really have a love affair with that team. You really like Jerome Tang. You love Jerome Tang. You love the staff. But if you don't have that connection to the players, it makes it very, very easy to check out on a team. And sure enough, we're going to have the exact same problem if they're not competing at a high level this upcoming year, because you don't get to fall in love with any of these freshmen. I don't mean to be an asshole to Taj Manning, but I don't give a shit about him because, you know, he's never going to play for K-State. You have a nice emotional attachment to David Gasson. He's going to be a 3-year player playing big moments. But that's really it. You know, you hope to see Buddy take a step and maybe you start to grow attached to him. But if this team is on the bubble again, if this team is having a rough season, if they're going through a rough stretch, I think things are going to get ugly. And it's not solely because you turn the team over so much, but it becomes really hard to have that, you know, real close connection with a team If they're not giving you results on the court and they're just some guys that you've been cheering for 15 games. So it's going to be tough. Day-Day Ames leaving, that kills me because down the stretch, he was looking really good. He had lots of flashes throughout conference play. I was thinking he was going to be a starter. Depending on how rest of the transfer portal shook out, maybe you were going to see him coming off the bench. But I think too many people are downplaying this. Some people who listen may disagree with me, and that's fine. I'm not someone who is opposed to being told he's wrong. But I think this one really hurts. Regardless of who you bring in to maybe start, you now need to find someone. Say Day-Day Ames wasn't going to start. Say they're going to bring someone in, they're going to start, and he was going to come off the bench. Who are you going to find with experience in the Big 12 who has had multiple 15-point games versus power competition, who went through the grind, played 20 minutes a game for a Big 12 team to come off the bench? I think not finding a way to retain Day-Day Ames hurts big time. I don't think there's any way around it. Now, is there anything that Jerome Tang and the staff could have done to keep him? It seems like probably not. Some of the stuff that you're hearing was his agent, which it's so dumb that we have to talk about agents in college basketball. But, I mean, there's always been handlers. There's always been AAU coaches. So, you know, it's whatever. Was his agent pushing for this? Was his family pushing for this? Was this something Day-Day wanted to do? Was it, you know, a group decision? I don't know. I don't know. I tend to believe this is not something that is all on Jerome Tang and the staff. I think they're pretty open and honest, and I think they communicate very well with the players. But it happening this late in the portal closes today, as you guys are listening to this. It sucks. It really sucks, and it throws a wrench, and it really makes the staff have to scramble a little bit to fill out the last couple spots in the roster. So Day-Day leaving really hurts bad. And again, I thought I was going to talk about how RJ Jones leaving sucked. Again, I thought RJ was going to have more of a role, like a 15-minute-a-game type of role coming off of the bench this year. Was hoping he was going to have a good summer, getting his shots in, working on defending. He left. I understand why he left when you brought in Housen. Similar type of players, you know, 15-minute-a-game, three-point shooters. Housen has proven that he can play that role, shooting it better. So I understand why RJ left. But when you look at it, look, you had three guys in a recruiting class, all three of them top 250, top 200 type of guys, all of them four stars, and only one of them's left. And it probably was the guy that I think maybe a lot of folks would have thought he was the most likely to leave, in Buddy Rich. And then in the Jerome Tang era, what, his five high school recruits, only two of them remain, and only one of them was actually a Tang recruit. The other one was Taj Manning, who Bruce signed. So it's modern college basketball. It's taking a lot to get used to, and it really just it really just isn't any fun. But we'll get used to it, and there's still time, and we'll talk about roster construction and where they go from now go from here. But it is a tough one to swallow. But again. They also grabbed two commitments. We're going to talk about both of those. Had two pretty big visits as well. So there's still time. But you know, there's still time, but there's now five spots open. So, we'll talk about the two commitments, the other two visits, and, what this team currently needs after an ad gets inserted here. Maybe not. We'll find out right now. Okay, so you maybe heard something that's directly tied to whatever your phone or laptop thinks you wanted to hear. But yeah, so look, it's not all bad. It's not all doom and gloom because K-State did pick up two commitments. Both of them, I think, have roles for this team. I don't think either one of them are going to be guys where you're talking about 25 minutes next year. But both of them are going to be pieces that this team really did need. First one was Brendan Howson. We've talked about him for a couple weeks now. He is the sharpshooter from Villanova. He's a guy who played, I think, 17 minutes a game. So, you know, looked for him to play 15 to 20 minutes a game. A little over 6 points a game. But this guy, he's the one who exclusively shoots three-pointers. He's a 40% type shooter. And he is the bench piece. He's a type of bench piece that teams who make deep runs in the NCAA tournament, teams who compete for the top of their conference, that's the type of bench piece. That's the support or type of supporting role player. That's the type of guy that you can call on to give your team a spark that the great teams have. You know, how many times has K-State been playing someone and then you just see a guy come in, nail two threes in a couple minutes off of the bench, and you're just throwing your hands up screaming, well, why don't we have a guy like that? Well, now we do. Now we do. And again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know if he can play defense, because I don't. You look up his highlight stuff, he's just bombing threes. You get on Twitter, he's hitting 18 threes in like 35 seconds when he's working out with himself. This guy is a pure shooter. This is the type of player that I don't think we've ever had at K-State before. Again, we've had decent three-point shooters, but this guy is a straight three-point assassin coming off the bench, and that is his skill, and he does it very well. He's a former top 50 recruit. He's a guy Jay Wright was really going after before he retired at Villanova. This is the shooter that I've been talking about, saying, hey, I want this guy to come off the bench and be a player for us. And that's exactly what we got. I'm pumped for this guy. Again, I think he's going to fill a role over the next 2 years. I don't think he's ever going to be a starter. I don't think he has an all-conference type of ceiling. I think he is who he is, a guy who's going to play 15 to 22 minutes a game. He's going to shoot 5 to 7 threes, and he's going to hit two to four of them. You know, he's going to, you know, be anywhere between 6 to 14 points. And I think that's a great thing. I think that is exactly one of the roles you needed filled off your bench. And I was super excited about closing the deal on him. The other one, and this is one that came together super quickly. There wasn't a lot of public flirtation until he showed up on campus over the weekend and then committed on Saturday. But Bay Fall committed. He was a former McDonald's All-American, only the fifth McDonald's All-American to ever play at K-State. He only played like 30 minutes across 9 games last year at Arkansas. So look, he didn't play at all. He's still going to have to learn how to play big-time college basketball. He went through a year with Eric Musselman. Eric Musselman wanted him to come out to USC. K-State recruited him while he was coming out of high school, and I think he probably thought to himself, okay, things didn't work out with Eric Musselman, didn't work out in Arkansas. Let me come to K-State and let me rock with Coach Tang and his guys. And this is the type of guy, I've talked about it on the show, this is the type of guy that I hope, I mean, fingers crossed, like this is his actual role, but the type of guy who's, you know, either 11, 12, or 13 on your scholarship list, and he has a year to develop. And I don't know if he's going to redshirt, quite frankly. I don't think he's going to, because I don't know if we're going to get enough big bodies on this team you feel comfortable with playing. So he might even have to have a bigger role than I want him to. or maybe even what the coaches anticipated when they got him to sign the dotted line. But this is a type of guy who, if it all clicks, if everything develops, he's an NBA ceiling type of guy. You know, I was just talking about how Housen, he doesn't have like an all Big 12 type of ceiling. He is who he is. Well, Bay Falls the type of guy where he could be a first team All-American. You know, he has a 7'3" wingspan. He has the ability, he's shown the ability, you know, during his high school days before he got to Arkansas, that he can shoot it from the outside. He can handle the ball a little bit. Again, this is the type of guy that K-State, if they're ever going to reach their ceiling, you take these chances on guys who didn't do anything 1 year. Their school gives up on them. You bring them in, you develop them for a year, and then maybe in that year two under K-State's system, things explode through the ceiling, and then all of a sudden, he's hearing his name called in the lottery the following June. That is the type of potential that this guy has. But again, I don't think he's going to be a 20, 30-minute-a-game guy for K-State. I think in an ideal world, you wouldn't be playing him more than 10 minutes at most. And honestly, that's even more. I think in an ideal world, you can find guys that can play this upcoming year, and you're able to redshirt him and allow him to get that time to develop. Now, what I just said, he has that potential. He has NBA potential. He has all Big 12 potential. His potential's through the roof. If you hit on that potential, he's not going to stick around. That redshirt's not really going to matter. So this upcoming season, really, I think, is, hey, finding ways to get him on the floor, getting his feet wet, trying to develop throughout the year. And I really think this is the type of guy who in the 25-26 season, which is so wild to be thinking about, you know, I should still be in college in 2024 or in 2014. I feel old talking about the 2026 college basketball season, but if everything hits correctly, if everything goes to plan, that is when Bay Fall is going to be at his best. That is when he is going to be the guy that explodes onto the scene, shows us his potential, and we're all sitting around slapping hands saying, man, what a great get that was, and look how well he developed, and boom, there's another NBA draft pick for K-State. So fingers crossed we get there. It will be interesting, as we're going to talk here in a little bit. He may have to play a bigger role than I would like him to this upcoming season. But hey, you know, that's how the cookie crumbles at times. The next one we're going to talk about, the next guy who visited last week was Khalif Battle. This is an absolute scorer. Again, he's another Arkansas guy, transferred in. He's going to be a super senior. And this guy is truly a scorer. 14.8 points a game, 3.2 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 35% from three. He had three games scoring 30 or more for Arkansas last year. He had one game that was over 40. I believe as you guys are listening to this, he's wrapping up a visit to Villanova. I feel pretty confident. Everything that's been told to me leads me to be pretty confident that we are going to be able to land Khalif Battle. You know, it right when I was writing this outline, you know, in my notes, I said, hey, if you pick him up, that either pushes CJ Jones or Day-Day Ames to come off the bench. Well, we know that's not a problem anymore. He obviously would be inserted right into the starting lineup. He's a guy who you're going to need to lean on to give you 28 to 30 minutes a game and fill up the scoring bucket. Now, he's not nearly as much of a distributor. He's not really a ball in his hands type of guy, which that's what you're losing with out Day-Day Ames. So you're really down to just two ball handlers with college experience. And then you have David Castillo coming up, and we'll see how ready he is from the jump or not. But Khalif Battle, if you can close them up, if you can wrap that up this week, that would be absolutely massive. And it would do a lot to calm the nerves around K-State fans who find ourselves at the end of April looking at the roster and saying, hey, you know, we only have 8 guys, you know, you still have 5 openings. So I know there's a lot of anxiety, and I'd be lying to you guys if I said I wasn't right there in the same boat. So we'll see if we'll close him. Like I said, I feel good right now, but in the world of college basketball recruiting, especially portal guys, especially getting to this point in the portal where just about anyone who's going to get into the portal is there, it's never over until it's over. So keep an eye out. Fingers crossed we hear good news on Khalif Battle this week. Last one, Clifford Amorie. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that last name right. Amorie. I don't know. I personally don't feel great about this one, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to learn his last name. Look, he's a super senior. He's, I think, a top 15 guy in the portal. Tons of people are going after him. Again, at one point, it was looking like K-State had a great visit. It was sounding like he was going to choose between K-State and North Carolina. Maybe Baylor tries to get involved. He ended up going on a visit to Alabama. I think Alabama fans are feeling pretty good about that one. And look, this is fishing in big game waters. This would be a massive pickup. They've looked at some other big guys. You know, they were talking about Pringle, who away from Alabama. Sounds like he's going to South Carolina if he hasn't already publicly done that. You know, you were looking at a few other guys that you passed on or they chose elsewhere. So when you want to talk about known big man targets, this is really the last one we know about. Not to say that you can't still get involved with other guys. Maybe there's a bunch that get into the portal over the next 24 hours. I'm not really sure. But again, if you could get him, you know, he's 27 minutes a game, 10.5 points, 8.5 rebounds, 3 blocks. I mean, again, he would be the most skilled big guy that you could possibly imagine. Definitely the most skilled big guy, true center that K-State has ever had. And if you want to talk about competing with KU, Houston, Baylor, Arizona, as much as I hate it, Iowa State, next season, if you really want to talk about finishing in the top 5 to 6 in the Big 12 next year, I think you have to sweep the board when you're talking about Khalif Battle and Clifford Amorie. You have 5 spots open. You currently have 2 spots in your starting lineup open. You have your main, you know, you need a ball handler to come off the bench, or you're going to be thrusting David Castillo into that role from the jump. And I think he could be elite. I think he could be the real deal. I don't know if I want to be depending on that if you want to talk about, you know, competing for the top 5, top 6 in the Big 12 this upcoming year. Now, if you want to talk about just getting to the tournament, if you want to talk about winning record in the Big 12, going 10-8 in the Big 12 and having a good season, you know, having a good non-conference season, maybe winning Paradise Jam, that type of stuff. If you want to lower expectations to, you know, a half step better than last year, then, you know, hey, David Gasson, he is a capable, you know, guy at the 5, baptism by fire a little bit for David Castillo, and you can figure things out. You know, and throw in, you know, Arthur Kaluma maybe coming back from the NBA draft, because things aren't seeming very optimistic surrounding the recruitment of Baba Miller. That one really kind of went south fast. Seeming like it was K-State or the NBA, and then all of a sudden just starting to take a bunch of other visits. Don't feel great about that one either anymore. So at one point, again, you're feeling great. You want to talk about competing for, you know, like I said, top five in the Big 12. Could you be a Final Four caliber team? All that type of stuff. I think we need to bring expectations back and kind of get back to a point where it's like, all right, you know, I guess it's not even 10-8 in the Big 12 anymore. Go 11-9 in the Big 12 and get a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament. That's the type of season you're setting yourself up to if you can't grab Clifford, if you can't grab Khalif Battle, and then you're still needing someone to start, you know, at the four spot, whether it's Kaluma, whether it's Boba Miller. And then that allows David Gasan to back up the 4 and 5. And then, you know, finding a ball handler, someone who has experience coming off the bench, allowing David Castillo not to deal with baptism by fire. That's the type of stuff that you need. Again, David Gasan, he can play the 5. That means you're still going to have to try to find someone to back him up. David Castillo can maybe be your primary ball handler coming off the bench, but you're still going to have to fill a developmental type of guard with that open position. And again, you still need to find someone else in the starting lineup, whether it's Arthur Kaluma, whether it's Boba Miller, whether it's someone else that's yet to be identified. Still a lot of work to be done for this team. And again, you're sitting here end of April with 5 openings. And again, it's better than having 9 openings. You know, it's better than not being able to practice. But still a lot of work to do for this team if you want to flirt with the idea about being a Big 12 championship type of team, flirt with the idea of being a top 3-4 seed in the NCAA tournament versus trying to make sure you're on the right side of the bubble. We're going to end the show talking about the Big 12, Big East battle matchup with St. John and a big-time basketball portal pickup for K-State women's basketball when we get back. Maybe you're going to hear an ad right here, or maybe you're not. Let me know. Okay, anyone who's listening, let me know if you like me giving a little, ooh, might be hearing an ad, or if you want me just to continue doing what I have been doing and dropping them in there when I get the chance. Final year of the Big East, Big 12 battle. K-State's playing at St. John's. Look, when this was initially leaked out there by John Rothstein, I was excited. I was thinking to myself, you know, I didn't go to Madison Square Garden when K-State played there in the NCAA tournament. Maybe I'll take this chance because, you know, is K-State going to get another chance? Is K-State going to ever play Madison Square Garden again? You know, the most famous arena in the world. So I was thinking to myself, all right, you know, maybe I'll go there. You know, it's December, Christmas time in New York City. But then it comes out that, hey, it's going to be played on the same day as the Big 12 championship game in football. Anyone who listened to yesterday's episode knows how excited and how high I am on K-State football. I'm hoping I'm going to be in Arlington, Texas on that Saturday instead. But obviously, if things don't go the way we want them to, then maybe, you know, you just won't be able to plan it out in advance. You guys know me. I'm a big-time planner. I'm already looking at different K-State trips that I am planning myself. So look, it's the end of the Big 12 Big East battle. And honestly, that makes me sad. Look, this individual game, who knows? And it actually might not even be played in Madison Square Garden. The press release that came out said it could be played on campus arena for St. John's. Which, I mean, that would be anticlimactic, but whatever. Not my call. But I'm going to miss the Big East, Big 12 battle. Now, K-State has had horrible luck. I think this past year beating Villanova might have been the only time we won that game. With everyone going to, 20-game schedules. I guess not everyone, but the Big 12 is going to a 20-game schedule. I think the Big Ten's already there. I think the ACC's already there. I don't know if the SEC or Big East are getting to that point yet, but a lot of these challenges are going extinct, and that's upsetting. That kind of sucks. But you know, it is what it is. I'll enjoy it. I hope that, you know, it's a night game and we're all watching it at Arlington, Texas. It'll be cool to play against Rick Pitino. And it will be probably the marquee game of the non-conference. I guess it depends on how good LSU is going to be. Is Wichita State going to be any good? That one's on the road. I don't anticipate any other power conference games. I don't know if Cal is this upcoming year, the following year, them coming to Bramlage. ACC basketball powerhouse, the Cal Berkeley Golden Bears. How wild to say that. I'm using powerhouse tongue-in-cheek. So we'll see. Look, we'll see what happens. I'm still very excited for the basketball season. I might even be looking to upgrade my season ticket spots inside Bramlage Coliseum. But, you know, the Day-Day Ames news took a toll on my heart. And look, there's still a lot of spots to be filled. Who knows? 3 weeks from now, end of May, getting into June, which is where Coach Jerome Tang said he wanted the season or the roster to be wrapped up by, I might be changing my tune within the next 3-4 weeks and saying, hey, why not? Why not compete for the top of the Big 12? We're going to see what happens. Stay tuned. We'll obviously be talking about it as it pops up. We're going to end talking about Tamara Poindexter, who committed to K-State women's basketball last Sunday after I recorded that that episode. And that's going to round out the starting lineup because she is going to be right next to Aoka Lee, the Glenn twins, and Serena Sundell. This woman is a 21-point scorer this past year. She was named the American Player of the Year at Tulsa. In her career, she's the number 3 scorer in the history of Tulsa women's basketball. She had the 21 points per game on 43% shooting, 32% from 3-point. She also grabbed 5.5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1.5 blocks a game. So if you were having any sort of trouble buying into next season for K-State women's basketball after Aoka Lee came back, have no more fears. Now, is she going to be, you know, that fan favorite and, you know, cult legend, cult hero that Gabby Gregory was? Probably not. But this is someone who is going to be able to score in bunches, something that Gabby never really got back to doing this past year because she was struggling with so many injuries. But she's someone who's going to be able to pair next to Aoka Lee. And between those two, you're talking about 40-plus points a game, you know, down low. Again, I think everyone wanted to see some sort of 3-point sniper for them. But again, you have a capable shooter in Serena Sundell. You have Taryn Sides coming off the bench. I do think that this is a team that will be able to compete for the Big 12 championship next year. Now, TCU is looking pretty salty. They got Haley Van Lith from LSU to transfer in. They got another transfer. They're bringing back some folks. Iowa State, I mean, we talked about the battles with Iowa State, you know, all season. They were like all freshmen, so they're going to be a talented team. Baylor's going to be a talented team. KU's going to be salty. West Virginia's going to be salty. Colorado's going to be salty. It's going to be, you know, probably the number 2 or number 3 basketball conference in the country with the Big 12. And I do think K-State, the ultimate goal is going to be to win a Big 12 title next year. And we'll see what happens. I think they still have maybe a spot or two left to fill. I would be shocked. I would be drop jaw shocked if they brought anyone in who ended up being a major contributor for this upcoming season. But Poindexter, probably the biggest transfer get maybe in K-State women's basketball history. I don't know if that's actually true. I'm just saying stuff to be profound. But it was a great pickup to pair with this team, and you know, you have the depth. I think this team is going to make a lot of noise and be a lot of fun to watch again next year. So that's all we have. Back-to-back shows this week, and look, we might have three straight days with the show if Grant decides he wants to podcast with me Tuesday evening. We'll see if that actually ends up happening. At some point, he'll come on. But he's a busy guy. That's all we have, though. Hope you guys have a good end to April. We'll have a Q&A show probably next week, unless there's some big news that happens the back end of this week. So looking like May 6th will be a Q&A show. Then we'll have Mom Pod with my mom the following week. And then, again, at some point we'll have trivia. It's all, you know, look, the off season, again, it goes by quick. It goes by quick, especially if you're only doing one or two episodes a week. Maybe a live show. I mean, maybe a live show. If you like the live show, tweet at me. Maybe we'll do a live show Wednesday evening. Bring it back. But yeah, that's all we have. So for Chauncey, the best dog in the world, such a good boy, my name is Scott. We love you guys, and go Cats.
Hail to the purple, hail to the white, wildcat in spirit, wildcat in fight. Hail alma mater from sea to sea. Fight, UK State Wildcats for alma mater fight. Glory in the combat for the purple and the white. Faithful to our colors, we will ever be. A-fighting, ever fighting for a Wildcat victory.
Fight, 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 fight.
UK State Wildcats for alma mater fight.
Fight, fight, fight.
Glory in the combat for the purple and the white. Faithful to our colors, we will ever be. Fighting, ever fighting for a Wildcat victory.
Go State!
One, two, ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Network.